Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revive Health's Daily Briefing Live for May 1st. Our 30-minute review of the latest and most important news for health system marketers and communicators dealing with COVID-19. I'm Jeff Speer, your guest host for today, and as always, we're joined by Chase Kleckner, Senior Marketing Manager and the show's producer, does everything. Hey, Chase, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, good to see you again.
You too. Happy Friday.
You as well, man.
And we're also joined today by Matt Goley. Matt's a vice president at Revive Health, part of our really, really amazing issues crisis team. He works across the firm, prepares many, many clients for pretty much any situation you can imagine in healthcare, has more than a decade of experience doing this for many other companies and many industries in the United States. Hey, Matt, how's it going today?
Doing well. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for joining. Friday at this is the end of week 7 for those of us who start counting the shelter in home on March 13th, Friday 13th. I remember that all the time. Okay, so we'll get into a few disclaimers. As with each show today, we're going to cover some news on COVID-19, how it relates to marketing communications. Give you a couple resources. If you're watching us and listening to us live today, please put your questions in the Q&A queue at the bottom of the Zoom panel, and we'll get to those questions near the end of the show. You can also use the chat function to talk to each other if you'd like to do that, but please, if you got questions for Matt, Chase, or I, put them in the Q&A. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Search for Revive Health Daily Briefing Live. We'll post a recording of this episode there by the end of the day, and there's several good ones from the week already up there, so please check that out. Can also go to thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19 for other resources, including some of our consumer surveys, special podcasts, and other things like that. A couple other important notes. We're not experts on COVID-19, so please don't use our advice here for medical or scientific resources or anything of that nature. Our opinions are for marketers and communicators dealing with the crisis, but we also know everyone's situation is unique, and some of the things we may say today may not apply to your situation. So do what's best for you. Let us know if we can help, as always. So let's go ahead and dive into the content. We're going to start with the latest count, as we always do. We use the Johns Hopkins tool. As of right now, there are 3.276 million cases confirmed in the world. In the United States, that's 1,070,000. We passed the 1 million mark, and 63,000 deaths resulting from that. And as we talked earlier, it does feel that we are plateauing, but we kind of are in the middle of the peak for a lot of places, so it's very, very difficult. That brings us a couple news stories that we saw today. One from Stat that I think is really, really important for our listeners to think about. And the article is by a psychologist, MD, talking about sadly couple suicides this week by healthcare workers, and many of our listeners have probably seen that. But the article does a really good job, I think, talking about the moral injury that healthcare workers are going through today. And in this article, one was an emergency room physician who had no history of mental illness whatsoever, and the other was an EMT. So two people seeing things from different perspectives, different backgrounds, but certainly in the middle of things and unfortunately having to deal with a lot of death and struggle. And I thought the article was really important and one that I think everyone should take a look at, because the author talks about the medical training and the mindset that people go through, and how they're able to compartmentalize their emotions and treating patients and dealing with these incredibly hard matters. But then that there's a moment at some point where those emotions get let go. I think she described it as this emotional silence that happens, that all of a sudden the doors come unhinged. And I think many health systems right now are probably in that mindset of, okay, we're almost back to normal and go back to business, but there's this whole other world in your organization that I'm probably having a completely different experience. Matt, what do you think about that? I know we talked a little bit earlier.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a sad and tragic and difficult situation for lots of people across the country. I think it's important to remember that as we sort of move through the peak and it seems like the numbers are getting more manageable for lots of hospitals across the country, it's important to remember that there's another healing process that we're probably not paying enough attention to for a lot of these healthcare workers who've been on the front line, but also other folks who have been missing birthdays, anniversaries, important dates throughout throughout the past several weeks, people who are working the supply chain, working the front desks, things like they've been taxed as well.
Yeah. And for all of you out there listening, it's certainly the time to remember this group of people and think about what they'll need when they, as they're coming through maybe the most difficult time for your community and how busy they are, but maybe entering the most difficult time for them, which is emotionally dealing with this and dealing with the lengthiness of it, not just of seeing all this struggle and being the last person maybe that people talk to instead of their loved ones over and over again, but also being separated from their loved ones. So think through what kind of resources you can give to them, what this means for the next year, and what it really means for the next 3 or 4 months is your system starts getting back to normal and operating. It may not be normal for them. Another shifting gears a little bit as we think about normal, Becker's released a really good list of where states are. 25 states resuming elective surgeries, 11 have allowed or announced plans to allow healthcare providers resume normal elective surgeries. So this is what we've been talking about for a couple weeks. And I think yesterday's guest, Chris Wickline, talked about retention, retaining some of the patients that maybe delayed care. But clearly a lot of implications here. And I think really good thing for our listeners to pay attention to what's going on in other states and thinking about what are they going through and how it relates to you, particularly those that are ahead of you, to continue to watch and see what you can learn from them, just like you have throughout COVID-19. Okay, let's kind of get into things a little bit. Matt, again, part of our issues crisis team, and we've been putting out bi-weekly reports, so twice a week instead of twice a month, as that can be confusing. But reports coming out tomorrow, which again, you can see at thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19. You can also subscribe to the newsletter so it gets right to your inbox. Matt's going to give us a little preview today of some of the things we're talking about. So Matt, we just talked about states opening up. I think that's related to one of the things that you've seen and the team has heard.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. As we're seeing more states open up, we're getting lots of questions about, when the time's right to reopen for business, things to consider, things like that. One of the pieces that we hit on in the upcoming report is a new poll from Morning Consult, which was sponsored by the American College of Emergency Physicians, that's showing that nearly one third of Americans are putting off care or have avoided seeking care due to COVID-19. That's obviously a huge issue and a huge problem for lots of reasons. But I think we need to understand sort of why that is. And I think it ultimately comes down to that concern, that fear that they're going to get infected by COVID-19 when they walk in the hospital doors.
Yeah, the fear there in walking hospital doors, particularly for those cases that may not feel emergent or maybe aren't causing you undue stress, but let's take cancer as an example. Another article I read today was an oncologist saying we're always full, but we haven't been full for months. So it's not like cancer goes away. And what they're really worried about are people that aren't coming in for the initial diagnosis and missing that really critical period where an early diagnosis can really change the outcome for people. What do you think, what are some of the things that our hospitals and health systems could do in communicating with consumers that are fearful and understanding how to address those things?
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point to make is that, you know, delaying care for many folks, that could potentially have very serious consequences. So I think it's important when we think about that is being very clear in communicating the steps and procedures that are being taken to make sure that, patients feel comfortable walking in the hospital. So what are you doing to sanitize? What are you doing to, with respect to infection control and spacing of people in coming in, coming out, things like that. Those are really important things that I think folks might have used to take for granted prior to COVID-19, but now it's almost table stakes.
It really is. I add to that, reminding people of the basics of health literacy, that knowing your body, trusting it, and really reminding people the consequences potentially of delaying diagnosis. And yes, there's a risk to go anywhere right now, and you can't take that for granted, but wear the mask, distance yourself, and come to a place for an expert to tell you what you need.
Yeah. No, I think that's spot on. And I think the other point that I'd like to make is on the other side of it, it's equally important for hospitals to be putting out that communication so you can get patients back in the door. We know that elective procedures help keep the doors open, and they might be a lifeline for the hospital as we continue to get through this.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talk a lot when in normal times of trying to make sure each communication is valuable, that you're trying to meet consumers where they are and not just flood their inbox for relevance. But now I think there's never been a time where communications from the hospital health system can be relevant and appreciated, even if you think you've said it already or have said before.
Yeah, I don't think you can over communicate in this environment.
And I believe Sasha Bogosian, Executive Vice President here, talked earlier this week about some research and testing we're doing on messaging for exactly this point. And Matt, I think that's something you also recommend, right? That each system does some market testing on these things?
Yeah, I without market testing, without research, and certainly without message testing, it's hard to know what's going to resonate in your community. Certainly as marketers and communication professionals, we can always, go with our instincts, what feels right with our gut, but it's always good to have those instincts backed up by data, by numbers. It's just going to pay dividends in the long run.
Yeah, we've got a client that did something similar. They've been getting great response on really strong and smart email marketing, but I shouldn't even call it marketing, email education they've been doing, and they picked up since the pandemic. They're getting really great response rates, and they recently asked several questions about what people's concerns were, and it was kind of interesting because some of the concerns were similar to what we've seen in some of our survey or national survey, but some were actually lighter, and our hypothesis that was that the fact that it was coming from the health system itself, a trusted resource in and of itself, kind of appeased people's concerns a little bit. Mm-hmm. So definitely something that recommend everybody do out there is to go ahead and check in with your market and your consumers and see how they're feeling. And just by asking the question, we'll help them. Okay, let's shift to the financial side a little bit more. What's the second topic on our list here, Matt?
Yeah, the second topic is really the ongoing concern of financials and the new financial reality that a lot of hospitals and healthcare systems are operating in. You know, we're hearing more and more that the CARES Act just certainly wasn't enough, and mm-hmm. and they're looking to state capitals and Washington D.C. for more. So I think the big question that we're hearing is, how do you go about doing that? How do you communicate what's needed? I think the perception of the public is, yes, there's already been $100 billion allocated.
Yeah.
But as we go through the numbers, as this continues, it's looking like that might not be enough.
Definitely isn't enough. I'm absolutely confident. So all of us don't want to talk about money, but the complexity of talking about the money and really locally is critical right now. What kind of bridges should our people be building?
Yeah. You know, we've been providing counsel to some clients around really making sure that you're staying in touch with your local chambers of commerce, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, those are key stakeholders in the business community with certainly strong political ties. So the more that you can bridge those or build those relationships and leverage those relationships, that's going to help get your message out there to those key elected officials that really need to hear your voice. And it needs to come from a variety of folks, not just yourself.
Yeah, the health systems really need these ambassadors for them. They can't just do it on their own. So how do you build these ambassadors? I think there's a few things that come to mind for me. Number one, tried and true, what's the economic impact of a health system in a community? So many studies show that this is a really positive force in community well-being. So that's number one. If you haven't done one recently, you can probably find some studies and communicate that a health system's health isn't just about the physical health of people, but it's also important for the overall economic health of a region. Second is helping employers and talking to them about what they need from you, but also making sure that they understand what you're doing from the community and they can really be a loyal supporter in that regard. But the third is, of course, elected officials and talking to them about securing money and budget for you in the future and making sure that they're understanding what your particular financial situation is in good detail, because it's not something they think about necessarily day to day or every budget season.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to articulate exactly what hospitals went through over the past 8 weeks. They had to completely upend their entire system, go out, look for supplies, sometimes at higher market rates than normally would. And I think, you know, well-intentioned politicians for sure look to support hospitals through the CARES Act, but it might not be totally clear as we continue to get through this for some how much more we're going to need or hospitals are going to need and for how much longer.
The USA Today ran an article, I think earlier this week, projecting that up to 100 hospitals could close. They had a pretty good, very easy visual that I think some of our clients showing the number of hospitals that are profitable and those that are unprofitable across the country. As most of our readers understand, our listeners, it's pretty split. So let's talk about that in the context of the CARES Act and what we think the implications are.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a great point is, even prior to COVID-19, the pandemic, a lot of hospitals were already struggling. So the responsibility, the noble responsibility that they had to care for the people of their communities, you know, they were carrying a new burden mm-hmm. as this was progressing. And as we're coming through the tail end of this, for some at least, it's becoming increasingly clear how much more vulnerable some of these hospitals and facilities are.
Vulnerable is a great way to put it. And I tend to think of always the juxtaposition with health systems and health insurance companies. So often when there's something in the media, it's a health system and a health plan talking, and health plan says, hey, we're trying to control costs and save money for our members, but health systems are viewed as racking things up. But now I think it's, you can't underestimate the stark difference between the two. We're losing money and hospitals are maybe in force of closure after 7-8 weeks. It shows you how tenuous things are for a hospital or health system, whereas insurance companies are projecting huge gains.
Yeah, and that's the juxtaposition of the reality that's going on. It's a tough situation for sure. You know, we're seeing more and more hospitals, health systems trying to figure out what the future is and whether or not they're able to reopen and rapidly recover. But then the other side of that is, if that's not able to happen, how do we begin communicating out what the future of something might look like?
So in this case, maybe, for example, either acquisition, maybe some closures. And what are some communication principles in that process, Matt, that our listeners need to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think in this environment, it's important to be transparent and, mm-hmm. and pretty clear with people what's going on. The community's been through a lot. Employees have been through a lot. I think in this sort of situation where it's been clear the facility's been in trouble for some time, you know, you have to be clear in your communication about why this is happening and all the steps that you did to try and prevent it. These are tough decisions. These are tough communications to make.
So that's, I think, where we all have to get back down to the basics of effective communication. We've got to simplify messaging. We have to talk to the key elected officials and prime audiences first so that they understand where we're at and why. Talking about things like cash on hand. Cash is going to rule everything right now for a lot of health systems to determine if they're going to survive this. Think that USA Today article talks about the number of hospitals that barely have 100 days cash on hand to cover things, and that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the discussion about this point is tied a little bit back to our second one about the importance mm-hmm. of communicating with elected officials and other leaders who can, for some, hopefully provide a bit of a lifeline if needed.
It's a perfect way to, I think, sum it up. We need a lifeline, and we need it in so many different ways, financially, emotionally, sometimes just resources and equipment and tests. But I can't think of a harder thing for communicators to try to balance right now in dealing with a bunch of people that have gone through maybe the most traumatic experience of their life that are within the organization and doing all this work. Then you've got another group of people that are really eager to come in and been sitting on the sidelines and want to get back to work to helping people. And of course, then there's the financial part of all of this that is so integral to survival, but also seems so detached from why people are in this business. And that's to help and really mission-driven stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, you raised some really important points and some things that I know have been on everybody's minds that we'll have to work through. So we talked last week with Ryan Coliani about the need to take this breather, not really a breather, but to plan ahead and get ready for these next scenarios. And I think you brought up a lot of good things that our listeners can get ready for. So thanks for coming on, Matt.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
All right. Well, that'll be it for today's show. So I think bottom line is get your playbook ready. And if you're not moving on these different realities and experiences and really thinking through with your team, how do you, to navigate that, you've got to do it. So pay attention to what's going on with these other states and let us know if we can help. Also, if there's anything else you want us to cover, please send an email or Slack or a note to Chase or Chris Bevelo, our normal host. They'll be back on Monday for you. You can also visit Think Revive Health, patreon.com/COVID-19 and check out this episode on and others on iTunes. And please let your team know. So for all you out there, hang in there. You're doing really great work. Really important for all of our organizations and communities that you serve as we move through the crisis. We'll be back on Monday and every weekday till it all passes. Chase, thank you as always.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
Okay. Happy Friday, everyone. Take care.